Welcome to Highly Questionable. There is a stylish gentleman on the set. That's Bomani Jones. The other guy is Dominique Foxworth. Bo, what do you like on the show today?
We're going to talk about how there's a man that might let a stupid T-shirt get him fired. A T-shirt!
Let's go.
Is Tom Brady finally washed?
It's funny that you should ask me that question because Bomani used to sit here next to me in Miami the first time I wondered about that about 5 years ago because of his deep ball accuracy. But when you look at the numbers since week four, you will find one of the worst quarterbacks in the league statistically. If you lose Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski, it's not just a Tom Brady problem, but he used to be a guy who could fix it even if Troy Brown was at receiver. Not anymore. He needs help more than ever because this is what a 42-year-old quarterback is supposed to look like.
We sat there and we talked about how it's a little bit here, a little bit there, and every now and then he would look great, but that the fall was coming. That was 5 years ago. It was 5 years ago when that happened. But now, 5 years after that, Tom Brady has the third highest off-target pass rate in the NFL. The only guys worse, Jameis Winston and Josh Allen. It is reasonable, as Dan said, that he would not be as good as many people would expect this year because he is, in fact, oh, the issue is we're all scared to say it out loud because of what happened after that Kansas City game 5 years. Yeah, we've been there, man. Like, that's the reason why we're here. Except the thing is, this is a team that is absolutely being carried by its defense, and there's nothing to point to on offense to give you cause for optimism, including quite possibly the greatest quarterback of all time.
Oh, that was beautiful, artful, the way both of you guys just set up the case to say he was washed, and no one could quite fix their lips to say that he is washed. I'm going to go ahead and do it. The man's a little washed. Like, he is, the point that Dan made about him not being able to elevate people is the most important one because he needs someone to make them better. He doesn't have it. And I would say that we just go off of this last game. Yes, the Texans defense is pretty bad and he should have been able to play well, but we're not doing that. We're going all the way back to week four. We're going all the way back to the Super Bowl in the season prior when they were kind of a run dependent team. Tom Brady isn't the player that he once was. And I think that's fair. We understand that their defense is good enough to still get them deep into the playoffs and possibly to the championship game, and maybe Tom Brady can put together one drive, but that doesn't mean that he's not washed. He can put together one drive, but the man's washed.
Bomani, now you came around strong, but he called us out and he was only willing to go to a little wash. Like a little corner of the washcloth is washed, not the whole thing.
Here's the funniest part about the game, right? The Patriots receivers are absolutely not getting open, right? You could say that. They're not getting open. You can't put that on Tom Brady. How about if those dudes or nobody's around be like, what's the point of getting open? He ain't going to throw the ball to me no damn way.
Dominique, you're only saying he's a little bit washed because we're on ESPN2. You would not dare do that on the regular ESPN. You would fear it too much. But Monty and I have the scars, man. It's been 5 damn years we've been getting it wrong.
He is all the way a little washed. Completely a little washed. How about that?
What if he does the Peyton Manning to us where he's all the way washed and we see it and they win the Super Bowl anyway?
That's right. Yeah, 9 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. Peyton Manning wins the Super Bowl.
Is Freddie Kitchens' T-shirt really to blame for the Browns losing to the Steelers?
Well, he blamed his daughters. If you thought it was lame that he wore that T-shirt as a gas bag on a team that has been flatulent all season, blaming your daughters because you wore that shirt, that Pittsburgh started it when what Pittsburgh did yesterday was finish your season, you should be a little embarrassed. But he should be more embarrassed by this. Do you guys know how many 100-yard receiving games Odell Beckham has this year? Because the answer is 2. I didn't think it was possible. That guy is one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen. And you look at the numbers with him, and he's got a bunch of games where, more games than not, he's got fewer than 60 receiving yards. How can you not be better offensively?
Well, obviously it's not the shirt's fault, but I think it's definitely Freddie Kitchens' fault, but it's not completely on Freddie. I think the problem in there is that they went through a tanking process, and one of the bad parts about tanking is that you destroy any idea of having a effective and productive culture, and you can't just bring in a bunch of new players and suddenly everyone knows how to act and behave and prepare and have mistake-free, talent-riddled football. I think that Freddie Kitchens, the job that he had on his hands was too big for him, and they're not going to be able to bounce back, they're not going to make the playoffs, and Freddie's not going to have a job next year, at least not as a head coach.
All right, so, like, I don't think the T-shirt is why they lost the game. It was funny, David DeCastro said that the T-shirt motivated the Steelers, but the Steelers had dudes showing up in free pouncy T-shirts, so you would imagine that sort of thing would kind of level off, right? I do think, though, the T-shirt incident is reflective of something larger of the Freddie Kitchens era in Cleveland, which is poor attention to detail. The shirt, not that big a deal. You wore it to the movies. Okay, you thought nobody would notice if you did that. You can't stop and take pictures in the shirt. I know something about wearing T-shirts and not realizing what the consequences of it are going to be. I am going to say, on the other hand, though, he knew damn well what the consequences of that would be. And he was like, let's take a picture.
Did the Ravens prove that they're better than the Niners?
Am I allowed to take a losing team from yesterday and be more impressed with what they did on the road against an MVP at quarterback and slowing them down and getting pressure with four than I was with the Ravens winning? I don't think this proved to us much of anything that we didn't already know, which is that both of these teams are really, really good, and one of them had to lose at the end of yesterday. I think a bounce goes either way in this game, and San Francisco is suddenly your winner. I thought San Francisco was just as impressive as Baltimore was yesterday.
See, I didn't think either of them were that impressive, and if I were San Francisco, I would not feel so good about the fact that Lamar Jackson did not really play well, and we still lost. That you ran the ball as well as you did, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't mess anything up, and you guys still lost this game. That would worry me greatly if I was San Francisco. And if I'm Baltimore, our guy didn't have to be Superman in order for us to win. That's got to help you.
Yeah, I could understand your point, Dan, in part because the conditions were ideal for a team that runs the ball more to be successful. Both of these teams run the ball well, but no one as well as the Ravens. But I still end up falling on the side of the Ravens in part because, or not in part, in whole because Lamar Jackson. Because Lamar Jackson, by himself, his mere presence neutralized that rushing attack. They were scared to come after him. So he was sitting in the pocket, buying time, throwing passes, some of them accurate, some of them inaccurate, but he was comfortable in that pocket. He kind of neutralized their greatest asset because they were afraid to play too aggressive. Having Lamar Jackson on your team makes your offensive line block better in running plays, makes them block better in pass plays, and makes your defensive better. Lamar Jackson is the great equalizer, or I guess not equalizer, the great benefactor of this team.
Can you explain to me, Dominique, how good it feels for a cornerback to do what this guy did on the 49ers to Lamar Jackson in the open field, where he not only fights off a block in this video, but he just takes the ball from Lamar Jackson in the open field? I'm telling you, the 49ers showed me something yesterday.
I got to admit that that probably feels good, but I got to be honest with you. We want the ball in our hands, but we want to catch picks. Nobody counts up fumble recoveries for cornerbacks at the end of the year. Throw that thing in the air and let me get it, which Lamar Jackson does not do.
Can we talk about maybe the most surprising athletic move anybody made in this game, though, that came after the game where Robert Griffin ran off on Kyle Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan didn't see it coming? Like, has it been so long that we have forgotten how awkward that whole thing had to be for that brief moment?
Oh, my gosh. That stiff arm was fierce. There was a lot behind that. There was a lot of words that didn't need to be said after he jabbed him and shook his hand.
But you know what, though? He shook his hand like, hey, man, it's been a long time. Before that moment, it went right back to January 2013 for Kyle Shanahan like, oh, that's the dude whose leg blew up on my watch.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I'm saying all that to say, even if they didn't call pass interference, something else would have happened and San Diego would have lost that game, because nobody is better at losing games than the Chargers. I know I just called them San Diego because they started doing this in San Diego too. One way or another, they were going to lose that game. This was the one that just spared people the time of playing OT.
Should we credit the Dolphins for their win or crush the Eagles for losing?
Now would be a good time to remind you that one distinguished member of our panel here said the Dolphins fielding a football team this year was morally unethical because their players were going to get trampled. It wasn't you, Bomani. It was
no,
Dominique.
I said, no, we both said
3-2 in their last five games. Yesterday, they have the play of their season where all of a sudden you've got a holder throwing a touchdown pass to the kicker, and the Philadelphia Eagles are a disaster in the worst division in football. One of the strangest Super Bowl champion descents you will ever see. They are 500 since trampling the Patriots a couple of years in the Super Bowl, and I guess you got to give credit to the Dolphins. When you start a season that poorly and you're still competitive and you haven't quit on it, you got to give them some benefit there.
The hilarious thing is how all the Dolphin fans are coming at me telling me to eat it after them playing well. So the fact that the coach and the players have outplayed played the tank does not make the tank any less unethical. I still believe, and I feel this to my core, that anyone who sacrifices their entire life to get an opportunity, and then once they get that opportunity, the message from the top is this season doesn't matter, you don't matter, we hope you lose, that's unethical to do that to a team. So I'm so proud and impressed with how these players have benefited and how Brian Flores has managed to somehow instill a culture that's productive in a situation where no one seems to care. So all the credit to them, all the credit to Chris Greer and those players for how they perform, but that hasn't changed my mind on tanking. Tanking still sucks because it doesn't work, and it is still unethical.
Yo, and let's send a shout out to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think had 3 touchdown passes in that game. And that becomes important because the thing that took down the tank in this case was that Josh Rosen was so bad that my thought was the reason they went to Ryan Fitzpatrick was you couldn't keep looking those other dudes in the eye and tell them to play hard if you were going to keep Josh Rosen out there, which meant they had to put Fitzpatrick in there, and he going to luck around and win a couple for you. He's going to lose more for you than he wins, but you are not going to go winless to Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback because somewhere out of nowhere, he going to have an 8-touchdown game.
Bomani, I have a stat that's going to hurt your feelings in your bones. Ryan Fitzpatrick has more rushing touchdowns than Bo Jackson in the NFL. That is a statistical fact.
What?
Do the Chargers have a case that they got hosed on the pass interference call?
The movie Anchorman is 15 years old. Luke Wilson in that movie loses one arm in a fight, and then another bear jumps up and takes his other arm, and he just screams, oh, come on. That is Philip Rivers the last 10 years of his career. New and inventive ways to lose here at the end of this game, guys, because you can't stop Drew Luck with 5 seconds remaining when he's coached by Fangio. You can't call that in that spot, can you? You're a cornerback, Dominique. Can you call that in that spot? We let things go on Hail Marys when guys are just trying to get a call and nothing else. You can't call that there.
Well, I agree with you. Like, that was not a pass interference, certainly not egregious enough to frankly decide the game. But Lynn said after the game the same thing that all football players know and feel deep in our hearts, that no one play is going to decide a game. However, in that case, I hate to see something like that. Casey did the things that you expect him to do. You have to look back at the ball, and if you happen to run into a receiver in the process, that's not on you. They have the responsibility to go around you. So a ticky-tack call like that, I hate to see that play such an impact on the end of a game like that.
Okay, but let's walk this back a little bit. Before we get to that play, let's talk about the Chargers being at 4th and 1 on the drive before that, then being penalized back to 4th and 6, then being penalized back to 4th and 11, then Phillip Rivers, who, by the way, we heard about maybe being benched through the course of this week, throwing up a heave that Mike Williams caught with one hand, brought it down, they get down there, and they score. And then they go lose the game the other way. I'm saying all that to say, even if they didn't call pass interference, something else would have happened and San Diego would have lost that game, because nobody is better at losing games than the Chargers. I know I just called them San Diego because they started doing this in San Diego too. One way or another, they were going to lose that game. This was the one that just spared people the time of playing OT.
That was nice of them. I didn't want to watch that any longer.
Oh, man. Overtime is the most overrated thing in sports. Have we talked about that? Like, most of the time, that game needed to be over.
Highly questionable. This broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that wants to know what Dan got Aaron Rodgers for his birthday today.
Happy
Do you question?
Day. I wanted him to come into my hairy bosom for an embrace. You give us topics and events, we question them. Happy birthday, Aaron.
You know you shave the hair off that chest.
Oh.
I just did jazz hands.
Do you question who deserves more blame for Alabama's loss, Mac Jones or the kicker?
The experts and the formulas tell us that Alabama is out of the Final Four. I don't believe them. I believe they're lying to me. I expect to see them, even though all the math says they're not going to be there. But let's check out this loss to Auburn here. Mac Jones, their backup quarterback, had a couple of pick sixes. That's a bad one right there. And the other one is a lot longer than that one. That's how Auburn won the game, because of that. And then you're on the goal line here.
He was open,
panic.
Too.
That's unlucky right there. Did he hit the running back in the back with the football? But still, at the end of the game, they are in position to tie it, and they send out their kicker for a 30-yard field goal, and he does this.
Bulldogs for the tie. Kick is on the way.
Ooh! Had that bass to it.
You guys tell me, if I put Alabama in the Final Four right now, would you have any objection? Do you think that Auburn's actually better than Alabama? Who do you blame there?
We got to do that. I don't want to put it on the kicker, though 30 is something that you should probably make. And Mac Jones, a young man with a great name, I would think that he actually kind of outplayed expectations here. They were in this game on the road all the way there. I'm going to throw something out there. Maybe, just maybe, they lost. Right. Maybe that just what happened was they didn't score enough points.
That's fair. And I certainly don't want to come down hard on any college kids. But did you see those? Do we need to play those interceptions one more time?
Oh, man.
Did you not see them? Maybe we don't need to do it because I don't want to hurt that kid's feelings. But if we're looking for somebody to blame, not saying that we are going to blame anybody, but say we're looking for somebody to blame, maybe it's the one who's throwing it to the guys in the wrong colored jerseys. I don't have high expectations for college kickers, so I feel guilty blaming that guy. So I'm just saying.
If you want to blame an adult in this scenario, Nick Saban is 10-8 against Auburn in his career. The 10 wins are against 8 or fewer win Auburn teams. The 8 losses, all of them are to the good Auburn teams. 9 wins or more.
And I'm telling you right now, lose to Auburn next year, Nick Saban. Lose to him next year. Call a realtor right after. I don't know why people act like Alabama ain't Alabama. You might not want to keep this up, homie.
I've been watching and listening to you say stuff like this for many years, and I always thought, hey, that's funny. That's funny. But no, you're right. They had a rough game, and I heard people on the internet like, maybe his time has passed. Relax. Alabama, relax.
Yeah, they're going to do that. Yeah. Jessica Foxworth said it. Watch that. That whole state of Alabama heard
ESPN
that and was
too.
Like, yeah, you're
ESPN
right.
Too. Everyone's calmed down because Foxworth said it.
Do you question who we should blame for Ole Miss's loss in the Egg Bowl, Elijah Moore or the kicker?
This was the funniest thing to happen in football this weekend, where you've got Ole Miss late in the game, a dramatic moment. They come back, they drive the length of the field, and it looks like they're going to tie the game with an emotional touchdown here with 4 seconds left, and he scores, and there's a collision, and then he does the John Randall where he celebrates by pretending to be a dog urinating. It is great. He had to apologize. And the coach apologized. The coach was then fired. The AD apologized. Keep in mind, this is the program of Hugh Freeze cheating. And then the kicker does this to miss after they're moved back 15 yards. I'm going to blame the kicker there because he's not a real football player and he's got to make that kick whether it's 15 yards back or not.
Yeah, Dan, you're finally on board. I love it. Let's blame these kids and call out the kickers for not being real football players. I'm with you. I'm certainly not going to come down on somebody making a big play and then adding to the awesomeness of that big play by putting a damn good celebration as far as I'm concerned. You're going to mark your territory. This is mine now. I love that. You got to be able to follow it up and defend your teammate and make that kick.
Okay, come on now. We know that was stupid, right? We can all say this, right? Like, I don't have to crush the kid, but that there was a stupid thing to do. You said he was marking his territory. They were still losing the game at that point. You know you can't do that. However, if you are a grown man and it was the evening of Thanksgiving and you, for whatever reason, were watching the Egg Bowl and you saw that and that made you want to write an indignant column, hey, man, tighten up your life with your family, whoever you was with. There's no way anybody should have been so mad on Thanksgiving to write something about that. It was hilarious. It was ridiculous. It was silly. It is done.
Time to play the game that made a delightful prime rib for Thanksgiving. Everyone loved it. See or no?
You tell us what's on television today. Bomani's gotten rusty and indifferent at the head nod.
I normally don't have to work with your reflections. These are people next to me.
Tonight on ESPN, Monday Night Football, Vikings and Seahawks.
This is a good one. The Vikings look pretty overwhelming the last couple of months, but let's check in here last week with a Seahawks play because the Seahawks also have been very good this season. And this is against the broken Eagles team.
Wilson gets it back.
Some trickeration. He's very good at throwing accurately deep down the field.
Turner falls it in for Seattle.
I wouldn't do a lot of that around Fletcher Cox. I'd be scared to do it. Dominique, are you intrigued?
Absolutely, I'm intrigued. This is a good game. Want to see with two MVP candidates, count them, two. We're talking Russell Wilson and Dalvin Cook. I'm not going to go with Kirk Cousins, because that would make Bomani's head explode. But I do think that Russell Wilson is making this team that I think is actually mediocre to bad a lot better than they should be. So he should certainly be in the MVP consideration, but I think that they lose tonight against the Vikings. I know you didn't ask for my pick, but you got it anyway.
I didn't ask for your
pick. You're welcome.
We weren't interested in your prediction here. Bomani, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued, and I just want to say I admit I got a lot of fantasy stuff hanging on me in this game. I have the Minnesota Vikings defense. I have Dalvin Cook and
You got Cousins? You don't have Cousins.
You got
Oh, you don't have Cousins. You did not pick Cousins.
Yes.
No.
He's put up incredible numbers that I don't have to explain away now that it's just for my fantasy team. Like, when it comes to talking about whether or not he's good, I got all kinds of answers for you about it. I don't care if he throws the ball 3 yards and the dude runs 70. I just need to pounce.
So, Dan, what did you appreciate more? Me picking a team or Bomani giving you his fantasy roster?
I don't know what's happening around here. He criticized a kid for a dog urination celebration, and now he's got Kirk Cousins. I don't even know you anymore, Bo.
I didn't criticize the kid. I like kids who do stupid stuff, too.
We're out of time here. Thanks for watching. Bomani Jones, where can they get more of your stuff?
Check out High Noon. I mean, it just went off, but you can watch it again tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones, a podcast. How about you, Dominique? What do you have to plug?
ESPN Daily. My dog Mina's got a show. It's good. Rate, review it, download, do stuff.
All right, so you don't have anything personally to plug. You just, you just ride off your friend.
I'm a benevolent soul, Dan.
Gracias. See you mañana. Do you think Tom Brady knows who any of us are?
Nope.
It would be way more insulting to Foxworth if he didn't know who you were. But, like, for me and Dan, like, you think Tom Brady's ever heard of us?